So, welcome to Endpoint Fight. There we go. Lost connection for a minute. Jeremy, Kentucky, on your Thursday night broadcast on republicbroadcasting.org. Please go there, smash the donate, send the bunch, the fundage, keep free speech alive. This is your Thursday night broadcast. And, you know, my special guest on Thursday nights, you know, the caliber of the Red Pillar.
The condition of husband,
I must break you.
Oh, Iman!
William Repellum, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, Jeremy, I'm good. How are you?
Man, doing great.
I'm really happy that song doesn't belong to Sylvester Stallone anymore.
Really?
Well, no, I don't mean anything against him, but that song, it's nice. I'm glad it belongs to me now. That song belongs to me now. Actually, yes. There's nothing else to say, Jeremy, okay? Listen, I know you're waiting for me to say something else, but that's all. That's all there is.
I think of you and I think of the song. I don't know what else to say either. There is nothing else. Other than happy 420 day.
Happy birthday, Adolf Hitler. Great man. He would have been, how old would he have been today? 134? Yeah.
I don't know, but it's a day when all people of Adolf Hitler and Bob Marley can just, like, get together and celebrate.
Well, that would be, more appropriate than what we have today, you know?
Right.
That would be pretty apt.
So, yeah, it's such a great day of celebration. I didn't have time to get together any prep for the show. What do you have? What do you have to go over? Anything good?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. So, Robert Rabel saved me and sent me some links. So, I'm going to pull them up right now. There's some interesting... We're just going to give some headlines, actually. Okay? And there's a few things for us to talk about. And we don't have to go in-depth on it, but we can talk about it if we want to go in-depth on it. So first we got Duke professor says... Duke University professor says U.S. needs to enact $14 trillion in reparations program. $14 trillion reparations program, which would hand $350,000 to every Black American descendant of slaves. Now, we all know, and that was a picture of a Black man on the front of it. And he's, you know, pushing for this. And, well, okay, he's the Duke University professor. Sorry, I've been getting my head banged around at the gym. I was doing Muay Thai, and then I did jiu-jitsu. And when I got done, I was delirious and kind of babbling nonsensically. I didn't get, like, beat in the head. I'm not really into that because that's not smart. But we just do light sparring, and then I really love it, man. It really makes me feel so much better, and I recommend everybody do it because you need to know how to fight in the coming times, and you need to. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel invigorated. So. Get into Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. You can do it at the same gym. It's the most effective fighting style there is. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how experienced you are. There's none of this, like, belt stuff. You just go to the gym and you learn techniques and then you practice them. It's a very practical, very easy to jump into kind of martial art. And it's the most practical martial art you can ever have. So it's the core of doing UFC, what you see on the fights in the cage and all those things. So, it's jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. And if you ever got, you know, thrown in jail or something, that's the skill you're going to want to know. That's the fighting style you're going to want to know how to use. Close range, end up on the ground. So you learn very good skills very quickly.
The real world sparring really brings your mind and body together. It teaches you how to still be able to think and rationalize when you're getting pounded, and that's how you survive an attack, is to keep your mind about you. So the real world sparring is very beneficial. Yeah. So we got off on that tangent. Where were we at, William? Before we got off on that. Are you still there? I think William is making some great important point, and we got off on martial arts. Hey, Mike, are you with me? Okay. I don't know what happened to William there. It was in the middle of an article, I think. All right, so he'll be joining us again. He'll be joining us again. Yeah, it's been one of those days. I just got in from my second job and haven't had time to put a lot together. But while we're waiting on William, let's just go to the prep page, shall we? And let's see what I've done for prep, which hasn't been a lot. I'll tell you that right now. William, you just break in there anytime you get ready. Drafts. Let's see where we're at. Here we go. Ah. Let's go to the draft page. Oh, it's a bunch of religious stuff from last night. All right. Anyway, William, you got me. Are you there? All right, he's gone. Oh, we got William back.
Oh, how long was I gone for?
Just a couple of minutes. I was trying to pull up some prep.
Okay.
Yeah, you went out right when we were talking about martial arts. You were in the middle of some elaborate article. And I literally had nothing else up on the screen, so I had to search. The audience had to wait and listen while I searched.
I don't want to bore our listeners too much with too much minutia, but basically this article, Duke University professor says U.S. needs to enact $14 trillion in reparations program, which would hand $350,000 to every black American descendant of slaves. Okay, and so William Darity proposed each black American who is a descendant of slavery receive $350,000 in a move that would cost the U.S. government $14 trillion. Cost the U.S. government, as if the U.S. government pays for anything. Cost the American taxpayer. I'm sorry, excuse me. The economics professor was challenged by other panelists who appeared with him on Tuesday's episode of Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil said, psychologically, it is unwise to give any group a large lump sum amount of money and expect them to spend it wisely. Well, duh. Good thing we have Dr. Phil to balance the argument. So, I mean, look, this guy's a Jew, okay? I don't care if he's black. He's a slave of the Jews, doing the Jews' dirty bidding. And he's accepting his slavery, and he's demeaning and degrading himself by saying, and, you know, black people, by saying, we need reparations. We need you to pay us money that we didn't do anything for, because we don't have the ability to go out and make it ourselves and do what, you know, what white people are kind of more hardwired to do, and that is go out and work super hard for it. I'm not saying that all black people don't do that, but this is a government sponsored disenfranchisement of black people. This constant destruction of the black people. So this will just do them in even worse and do everyone else in. And then you have black people sponsoring it. So these idiots that sponsor this are just like furthering the continuation of slavery. It happened to, you know, I was reading about Reconstruction in Thomas DiLorenzo's book. So after the war, after the War of Northern Aggression and the Civil War, the North pretty much looted the South and disenfranchised all of the white Southern men. The Southern states weren't even allowed to participate in the Union as states that were had a vote in what happened. So the states themselves were disenfranchised, and then they enfranchised blacks down there. So this is, you know, the Jews brought the slaves over, bought blacks over, made them slaves, brought whites over, made them slaves too, but nobody hears about that. But and the Jews were the primary slaveholders. Yeah, so now you have Jewish slaveholders parading out this Duke University professor who's blabbing off about this. Let me kick it to you, Jeremy.
A couple of different things come to mind. First of all, I would compare Reconstruction era to what they did to Germany after World War II, and just letting the hordes of Russians and Mongols invade and rape and pillage and punish the German people. I would compare that. And then two, you know, that's sort of how you break down a person. You think about maybe basic military training, or let's go even more extreme than that. You know, if you're trying to, like a prisoner of war that's being broken down, just completely break their spirit. And that's what they did to the South, and that's what the Allied powers did in Germany after World War II. I'm making that comparison. And you're just putting it in their face, right? And so now, like, the Jews have power over us, and they're just putting this stuff in our face, this child training stuff. I mean, doesn't it just seem to get more and more over the top every day? And you almost can't believe what's coming to you. It's like a psychological warfare going on when you hear this stuff. Because let's be fair. The average black, if they're decent black people, they don't want this. But then, you know, we've got this thing where the Chicago black thing happened. That definitely was engineered. All of those gangs in Chicago acting up, chimping out. I mean, people are driving this. You know, Jewish establishment is driving this. It's almost an in-your-face, like, breakdown of society type thing, just like you would break down a POW, just like the South was broken down under Reconstruction and how the Germans were broken down after World War II. That's what I'm comparing this to.
I'm glad you brought – that's a really good that's a really good analysis, Jeremy. I think you're spot on that. They just keep using the same template. They keep using the same pattern or the same formula over and over and over again. And they just apply it and just in different places. And also, I'm glad you brought up the riots in Chicago, because it's really interesting how the media reports on it. They report on it like, and they use language like takeover. I was listening to Red Ice. I don't listen to Red Ice all that often, but I was listening to Henrik today on Red Ice, and he was talking about this. Went into this quite a bit, but yeah, it was really. He was playing excerpts from the media, and the media is conditioning everyone that we're helpless. There's nothing we can do about it. We're being taken over. They can't find any of these criminals. Please call if you've seen anybody, any of these people. I mean, there's so many different people that are committing these crimes, looting, violence, shooting people. And they're like, no, nobody's been found. There's only been one arrest made. The sheriff went in there, but there's nothing they could do about it. So they want to demoralize us and make us think that, you know, we're helpless and there's nothing that can be done about it.
Yeah, the Illinois State Senator calling it a mass protest. I saw that. Just peaceful protest. This is reminiscent of the 2020 summer of George Floyd, where you had peaceful protests as things were burning in the background. They call it peaceful. but yet, you know, 800,000 to a million Trump voters on the Capitol, that's an insurrection. People being led into the Capitol, you know, on January 6th, that's an insurrection. But yet these are protests. These are legit, even though there's mass violence going on. It's some sort of psychological game that they're playing on the people. It's another form of mass formation psychosis that they did with COVID, they did with the summer of George Floyd, they did it with the Ukraine war, and getting all the conservatives to rally behind Ukraine, and they're doing it now with these protests. It's a way of breaking the populace down, breaking down the psyche.
Absolutely, Jeremy. And I have a correlation when we come back from the break, another one, between National Socialism and this situation.
Well,
more on the other side.
Intel report on RBN to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Network. William, you were just making a comparison.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was. It slipped my mind already.
Well, this whole Black Riot thing in Chicago, along with all the other things that they're doing to us, you know, the summer of George Floyd, the Ukraine conflict, child trannyism, it's like a mass formation psychosis. It's like the media is trying to break down the American public, similar to how populace broken down during Reconstruction in post-World War II Germany. They broke the populace down.
Yep.
You know, yeah, just like you would break down a prisoner of war, you would break down their psyche. You
know, okay.
That's where we're at.
I remembered now. Were you done with your point there, Jeremy?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I opened and interrupted you. But the point I was going to make was that socialism, right? So when you have – so one of the things I heard on this, that these, you know, blacks and Jews, they try to push is that, oh, dissent has been part of our country since its formation. And so, you know, and then they use that to justify these violent riots and looting and all this crap, which is lawlessness. It's not dissent. And it's very disgusting. Now, you can also draw that correlation over to something like a political ideology like socialism, which works only when it puts the people who, you know, pay the bill, their own people. If you're supporting your own people, of course you want to have socialism because it's national socialism, like what Germans and Hitler had. So, but this socialism where you bring in hordes of people from third world and you support them, that is not a socialism that you want. So
yeah, it's think about Denmark. I mean, Denmark was a socialist country after World War II, and when it was, you know, homogenous, mostly Danish, it worked. Socialism worked because everybody paid into the system. They had government subsidized, you know, streets, education, housing. But then the system was broken when they brought in third world immigration about 6-7 years ago. And it totally broke the system. That's a perfect example. And it's why socialism could never work in America. I think the way forward for Americans is to just go back for something to throw us back, you know, to a system of I want to say mediocrity. That's not the word. Where everyone benefits because of the way that they compete in society. What's the word I'm thinking of, William? I said mediocrity. That's not the word.
Homogeneous?
No. Yeah, that's that. Homogeneous is what it would take, but America is not homogeneous. So
solidarity.
Well, it's a system where your performance.
Oh, meritocracy.
Meritocracy. There we go. Thank you. It's been a long day, and I've had to work two jobs. We would have to go straight meritocracy, get rid of affirmative action, and balkanize into racial communities. That's the only way forward if for America to make it, is to do that. America could not go straight national socialism. It just wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't work because unless all, you know, white people join together, and even then there's a lot of different, you know, white people from different parts of Europe who would have to be a pan-European type of socialism. But at another point too.
Up on the break. Let's take a break. We'll come back and take some calls on the other side and continue discussing this.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Jeremy on Republic Broadcasting. So we were just getting back to the way forward, and we got calls. We have to go to a call screen after this, but the way forward is total meritocracy, the collapse of the federal government, and conservative states banding together to form a new republic in which meritocracy, straight up meritocracy, rules, and where then you would have balkanization between racial groups. The white communities would balkanize black communities and Hispanic communities. And they would learn to work together in this new republic. That's the way forward. Probably you would have to have militias formed to protect yourselves from roving black gangs. Because what they're doing in Chicago is very reminiscent of what happened in South Africa when apartheid fell, and they allowed the blacks to just take farmlands from white Afrikaners, from Dutch farmers. That's what's looking like what's happened in America in the big cities. Kick it to you, William, then we'll go to callers.
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely. They are putting the template of South Africa on America now, and we knew that was coming. We knew that the Jews were going to do that. And, the point I was going to make is that with mass immigration into the country, all these countries doing this to themselves, it isn't – no country that loves its own country would ever do something that stupid to themselves. That's the Jews. That's an act of Jewish warfare against humanity. So that's all that is. Mass immigration from the third world into your country is the Jews 100%, and then the Shabbos Goy idiots that are brainwashed by the Jews.
And in the case with this, these riots in Chicago, I mean, that's happening in affluent, like white suburban areas. It's not happening in the slums. You know, they're coming into where the whites are. And these are blacks that have been there. Your point is very well taken, that mass immigration of the third world is meant to break down countries, and the Jews are doing that. But it's also having an effect on the native black population, which is what we see in Chicago, riots in affluent white areas. So, it is sort of painting the picture of South Africa. Let's take some callers, if you will. William, I think we had...
Hey, Jeremy, somebody just rang the doorbell. Hold on. Let me get it real quick.
Hey, while you do that, I'm bringing on Vinny. Vinny in Indiana. I think we had Dave drop. We had Dave from Nevada. He dropped. Vinny in Indiana, and Dave, if you want to call back.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Will. I lived in Chicago for a long time. I worked for a lot of bigger corporations, big major banks doing like derivatives programming. Worked downtown. You realize that the Democratic convention for 2024 is going to be in Chicago.
Oh no, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and you think that's crazy, but, you know, traditionally, the north, you know, side of Chicago has been very stable, but they've allowed blacks to come into this. Like, I lived in Chicago under Mayor Daley, and you would never allow for black chimp outs, you know, in the Loop or the near north side where, you know, you saw this woman, she was a white woman with a black boyfriend, and she was going into her apartment and they were accosted, you know, they were basically attacked by all these black teenagers. The idea that you would allow black teenagers to be, you know, basically looting the Magnificent Mile, I mean, that's just absolutely insane. When I, in the 90s, let me just tell you, I used to rollerblade the entire Chicago lakefront. Because, like, I would rollerblade from, like, 5,000 North all the way down to 69th Street on the south side. I was really good at inline skating. I could rollerblade, you know, 30 miles in a day. And, you know, I used to meet with clubs and, you know, where they had all this problems in Millennial Park or wherever it is, you know, right outside what used to be the Standard Oil Building. You know, it's a beautiful park, and you know, all of that was perfectly safe. I mean, after work, the lakefront would just be crowded with people, and you know, I asked people, like, do people like inline skate anymore? Because I still do, but like nobody does it in the big cities, like in New York, Chicago, because you got skates on, you're totally vulnerable. You know, I would skate home in the dark in Chicago lakefront. I can't imagine doing that now.
Yeah, no, it's totally indicative of these areas just turn militant towards white people. William, do you have comments on that? Oh, go ahead, William. Or Benny.
Yeah, I would also work as the IT industry, the H-1B, when we started replacing all the good corporate jobs, and I had to find work between IT gigs. So I would also do deliveries. And, you know, like, I, you know... In Chicago, if you're a delivery driver, you had to wear like a delivery jacket, or you had to wear a white shirt and a tie. That way the cops wouldn't hassle you. Like, you could drive, if a guy could work, drive a beater of a car and do deliveries. But like, you know, like where Barack Obama lived in Hyde Park, which is on the south side. And, you know, but that's, you know, not only did you have the Chicago cops, but you had... That whole area around the University of Chicago, they had their own police force. So let's say, like, you know, like I worked with other guys who worked not just for our delivery company, but for another delivery company. If you were black and you were doing deliveries, you know, if you didn't have your delivery jacket on or you're driving an older car, the cops, I mean, they were like totally on you. I mean, if you, you know, anything, you know, you could, they kept all the riffraff out of that area. So like Barack Obama lived there. But, like, you know, Steve Saylor, who writes a blogger for the Uninjured Youth, said, like, you know, these guys had, like, their own private police force to make sure that, you know, Barack Obama and his, you know, Michelle and the kids, they're all perfectly safe. You know, that was, like, you know, all of that, you know, it's just the insanity of them wanting to do defund the police. And, like, I've listened to Patrick Slattery talk about Chicago. Blacks make up, I think, only about 30% of the population of Chicago. Blacks have been moving out to the collar towns around Chicago, in Cook County, outside of Chicago city limits. Like, there was a big to-do in Forest Park, which is, like, on the, it's kind of northwest side. It used to be, like, the Harlem area. It used to be where, like, Sears Roebuck had their huge catalog plants. It was, but that's a suburb that's still about 50% white. But, you know, blacks have moved out of Chicago, and what you're seeing is lots and lots of Hispanics, Puerto Ricans, and Mexicans in that area. So, you know, in Chicago, like when they had the 2020 riots, the George Floyd riots, the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans got together and pretty much kept the blacks from tearing up big parts of their neighborhoods. And there were definitely killings that never got reported because, you know, they kind of had like rooftop Puerto Ricans and Mexicans, you know, kind of like the LA riots, you know. There were definitely, you know, but then the craziness of all Democratic politics is, you know, in June, they came up with this Juneteenth, so blacks go crazy in June. You got all the crazy gay stuff going on the whole month of June, and then you got these crazy trannies, you know, and then you have Puerto Rican Independence Day, which is a huge, it's not just the Puerto Ricans, but it's all the Central Americans and all, you know, all of those people. For like a whole week, they drive around Chicago, you know, with their Puerto Rican flags and Salvadoran flags and, you know, wherever they're from in Central America. It's a huge thing. And it's like, you know, there's this conflict waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of like Chicago is being turned into another Compton, basically, dominated by black crime. William, do you have some comments on Vinny's call?
Well, Vinny, are you still – you're the one that goes out and does the banners and stuff like that, right? You go out and protest and you do it all on your own?
No, I did.
Is that right?
Stuff when they had the Stop the Steal. I went to different things. And I live in an exurb of Indianapolis now. I live in a small town outside of Indianapolis.
Oh, you moved? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I haven't lived in Chicago with somebody else. There was another guy that used to call
in. The mid-aughts when, you know, basically when they quadrupled the number of H-1Bs and pretty much destroyed the IT industry for anybody over 40, I got the hell out, you know, but Chicago. But, I worked in Chicago for many years. Hello?
Yeah, okay. Indianapolis, Chicago. I mean, they're turning into Compton, basically.
Every city has the same. I mean, Indianapolis. We had a whole city council of George Soros gays on the city council, and we now have a Democratic mayor. And the city is just. I mean, last times I've been downtown, it's just shocking to see stuff I never would have seen. Homeless people just. You know, bothering people going, trying to go to restaurants or bars. The bars are all shut down. All the retail's shut down. It's just horrible.
Yeah, as we move into this new thing where America balkanizes, I think you're going to see, like, the residents of southern Illinois and southern Indiana and northern Kentucky, they're not going to want to have anything to do with the big cities that represent their states. So, like Chicago, Indianapolis, I think when you see the balkanization happen, as we're seeing it happen right now in real time, people in the southern districts of these states, Illinois and Indianapolis, are going to balkanize, and probably you're going to see white flight in these big cities to rural areas.
Well, yeah, Vinny, are you in a, you said you're outside of Indianapolis, or are you in a rural area outside of it?
I'm in the county seat of a collar county of Indianapolis. It's a very nice town. I mean, it's a Whitopia.
Okay, is it liberal, or is it like people are?
You know, no, but you know, I mean, I don't care where you are. We still have, you know, you still have, you know, you have crazy people who move from Indianapolis. They move out to where I'm at, and you know, they'll have their gay flag and stuff like that. And it always kind of unnerves me. But no,
well, I don't know why you don't
move
to more.
I live a few blocks from the county courthouse, and we had huge Trump rallies. And you know, you wouldn't believe how, you know, the whole Trump, the whole MAGA-tard Trump phenomena in this town. It's just, you know, yeah. I mean, I got Trump flags on my windows and stuff, and I don't get any. You know, it's perfectly fine. It's a very, you know, but yeah, I'm you know, it's amazing how much Indianapolis has gone downhill and how white out of Indianapolis. It's just amazing. I mean, my whole neighborhood where I grew up has been completely converted into refugee resettlement.
That's disgusting.
I want to bring this.
We got another point caller though. We got Joe in Florida, and we got 12 minutes left here.
I'll let you guys go. Had a good night.
Thank you, Vinny.
The Democratic convention is going to be crazy.
I was just going to bring up a point before, just as we bring on Joe in Florida, is that the people that are still in, you know, like Trump MAGA support, I mean, they're still, you know, the Trump movement is a pro-white movement. And this is
totally
their response to these chimp outs in the big cities. And people are doing the Trump MAGA movement because that's all they have to go to. They don't have anything else to go to. They don't.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's white people's way of pushing back. They don't know anything right. else to do. So I have a little, I have a lot of, what's the word?
Sympathy.
Sympathy, yes.
Empathy.
To these people that still are in the Trump movement.
Hey, Jeremy, listen, somebody's here that was ringing on the doorbell, and they want to talk to you.
Okay.
Hey, hang on a second. Jeremy, it's Ivan Drago. How are you doing?
So we got Ivan. Are you the KGB sleeper cell?
No, Jeremy. I am, you know, fight training and doing all that kind of stuff as well. But I wanted to come and correct William on one thing. Okay, the Vladimir Sterkovsky, he didn't. Let you out of KGB jail or not put you in KGB jail just because because William Rapillum gave him a martini. That's not right. The only, that's not the reason. It's because of me. Because I know him. And I talk to him. So he's not going to just not come arrest you just because William Rapillum gave him a martini. Like, are you kidding me? Give me a break. Okay?
So we got Jeremy and Ivan taking calls. Joe in Florida is up next. Joe, what do you
have? I have to go now. So I say goodbye. Goodbye. We'll see you next time.
Joe in Florida, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Jeremy and William? I don't know if William's back. I was so convinced by Drago there, so authentically. But hey, listen. Oh, by the way, William, you made me crack up last night. I've never heard this before. Right? You were reading this story about the leaks or whatever. This is on the Intel report, you know. And then about halfway,
yeah.
Did you hear this, Jeremy? About halfway through the sentence. William says this. He literally says, I'm going to stop reading this story now because this is boring me to death.
Right.
It's like self-editing on the air. I loved it. That's why I love RBN. You can never get more genuine than RBN and William and the whole crew. And there's no fakeness anywhere. No fakeness anywhere.
I appreciate it.
Listen, hey, you know, actually, I haven't heard about this. By the way, Tom from Florida is from Chicago originally. I don't know if you know that, since we're speaking about Chicago. It's been a long time, but he's not far. He's a bit further down than me. I'm in Broward. But here's the thing. The thing about the Democrats having their convention in Chicago, which they just announced, when I first heard that, I thought, this is insane. Like, what kind of out-of-touch people would actually, now that we see what's happened to Chicago, it's turned into, you know, Zimbabwe. Why would they have their convention of all things there? But then, aha, I put it together, at least my opinion. So this is actually, I didn't believe this when I heard it, but now I'm really convinced that this is going to happen, that they are going to roll out Big Mike Obama. Oops, I mean Michelle Obama as their candidate. Because think of it, there's really no reason to have that convention in Chicago with the outrageous. I mean, even Democrats are saying, what a disgrace, and what they destroyed that city, which used to be a beautiful city. The only reason would be is if you had the Obama, you know, mafia, you know, Michelle trying to take on the nomination. So I think that's a good sign. I don't know. What do you think?
Michael Robinson.
Big Mike.
Michael Robinson.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but I do believe that they're going to make her the nominee. The other thing I wanted to say really quickly was, so it looks like, the three lying Jews, you know, the three blind mice. Well, we've got the three lying Jews of the Biden administration. Maybe they're the ones that are going to take him down. This week you see Alejandro Mayorkas, right, the Jubin, who is literally on moments away from being impeached and being accused by like 10 different senators of lying, and they're threatening to impeach him in his hearing. Then tonight or yesterday, apparently that whole fake Hunter Biden letter that said, oh, it's Russian disinformation, was organized by none other than the Jew Blinken, who got rewarded with being the Secretary of State, the former band member. I think Dr. Slattery has a nickname for him, but he used to be a band singer. I don't know, the second line Jew. And then the third, Moshe Garfinkel, is being revealed as also part of the plot by the whistleblower. So look at that, the three lying Jews. That would be fitting for this corrupt Zog government to be destroyed by three lying Jews. Maybe it'll happen sooner than we could imagine.
One of them's name is Alejandro. I got to correct you. It's not Mayorkas. It's myocarditis.
Oh, myocarditis. Yes. And his sister, pericarditis. Yeah.
Well, Alejandro, you know, myocarditis, like,
I'm so sick of these liars, and I'm beginning to feel like there's something has changed here, because the narratives are all collapsing at the same time. You know what I mean? The Ukraine hoax, the COVID hoax has already long collapsed, and the hoax of the election. I think we're going to see the evidence about the hoax of the 2020 election. I think even that's going to collapse.
Well, you know what, Joe? Did you listen to the debate between Michael King and Diana Ploss? So I've not been on the Trump train for, you know, quite a while now. And I pretty much have resigned to say, okay, Trump was a psychological operation. But the other day I listened to this argument, but I've also been, you know, I've also not been dogmatic about it. I've also been open to, well, okay, maybe there is some, you know, because it is hard to believe that the entire you know, government apparatus would be going along with this crap.
Right.
You know, that they're not people in there that aren't working towards, and know, I've known about this a really long time, aren't working towards something and, you know, working as double agents or whatever. So, so I'm not that blackpilled. So if you listen to Michael King's debate, he really presents some very, I think he presents some really good arguments. So it's worth listening to, and I really like and respect Michael King. So
the army, so what, that Trump is a controlled person or what exactly?
No, he's making the argument that Trump is actually going to, you know, maybe do something here. You know, I'm going to get a bunch of backlash from people for saying this. But
no,
look,
no,
I'm not going to be, like I said, I'm not going to be dogmatic about it.
I'm actually in the same place as you are, and maybe even Dr. Slattery said this. The idea is that if it turns out that he's absolutely the only possibility, well, then, you know, what's the alternative, right? I mean, that's always the way it is, but maybe there's still some possibility. Of
alternative is us getting involved locally. We have to do that.
Yeah, I'm open to jumping back on the train.
Well, that's the end of the show. Thank you, Joe and William.
Yeah.
Back tomorrow night with you. Red Pill Punch Bowl.
The Red Pill Punch Bowl. Oh, that's right. I got to do that tomorrow. Okay. Yeah.
You got to do that.
See you then. It's going to be a good show. Bye-bye.
Take care, sir.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.